Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Bombas mission is simple. Make the most comfortable clothes ever and match every item sold with an equal item donated. So when you buy Bombas, you're also giving to someone in need.
Bombas designs their socks, their shirts, and their underwear to be the clothes that you cannot wait to put on every day. And I will tell you, I have a whole basket of socks, and if I can't find Bombas in that basket, I get really angry.
I like that it's a basket because we all know that they're probably not matched.
Yes, exactly.
I love my Bombas socks because they don't slouch. If you get the ankle socks, they're not going to crawl under your heel and get stuck inside your shoe. And they have that arch support, like honeycomb sort of stretchy web that goes around the arch of your foot. And it's just a nice gentle hug to support the arch of your foot. So they're super comfortable and supportive.
I don't want to make claims that are not true, but I definitely feel like I run faster when I'm wearing my Bombas socks. I think my brain is just like, wow, your foot is really in there and really protected and supported right now. You can fly.
Yeah, we can really let it all hang out now. Bombas has t-shirts too. They're made with thoughtful design features. They have those invisible seams, soft fabric, and the perfect weight so they hang just right.
Go to bombas.com/taste and get 20% off of your first purchase.
That's BOMBAS.com/taste for 20% off.
Again, bombas.com/taste.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your hamstring stretching, horror movie mainlining. I've been looking at rave clothing for an aerial photo shoot, and boy, do I love rave clothing, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, my girlfriends and I stayed at a restaurant so long that they flickered the lights to like signal us to leave, and it feels like an accomplishment. I am obsessed with this baked sweet potato that I ordered at a restaurant, and I cannot recreate it for the life of me. I watched entirely too much TV this weekend, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
This week, I am talking about becoming a teacher and owning your expertise. I'm not talking about becoming a school teacher for children because teachers in America are leaving the teaching profession in droves, Bethany.
Yeah, it's been a tough few years for teachers.
A tough few years. And the type of teaching I am talking about today is, what is the one thing, or maybe it's multiple things, you know, I don't want to put you in a box. What is the thing that you are an expert at, but you have a hard time admitting to yourself that you are an expert?
Oh, there's some of that imposter syndrome in there too.
Yeah, but also taking that knowledge and then teaching others, starting your own sort of continuing education class.
Cool.
Anyway, Bethany, what's on your plate this week?
I am talking about parasocial relationships and some of the true crime stuff that's happened because of them, but also how we can recognize our own parasocial relationships and make sure that we are relying on actual friends and not people that we only know because they're celebrities or through social media. Oh. There's a whole world of parasocial relationships that I'm going to dig into.
So parasocial means like a friend that you only know from the internet.
It's not even a friend. A parasocial relationship is a one-sided friendship. So it's a friendship. It's not even a friendship. It's a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's people forming intense, one-sided attachments to celebrities or public figures.
Oh.
And the reason it came up is because I was listening to a podcast talking about this guy who became obsessed with a woman he watched on OnlyFans.
Oh.
And she had commented a couple of times back and forth with him, but there was not a relationship.
Yeah.
But he found where she lived. Mm. She tried to move. He found where she moved. And it became a very dangerous situation with catastrophic results. But also, like, performers like Charlie XCX have been leaving, and Lizzo leaving social media, because their super fans feel so entitled to the friendship they think they have with this artist that they start getting really mean and criticizing what the artist is doing, because they feel like, well, I'm your friend. I deserve a certain level of music that I expect you should be giving me. And things can get really dark. So it's very interesting.
I am so excited for you to dig into this.
Yeah.
By the way, there's this grandma on social media. I think she's actually on TikTok. And I catch her when people do reposts of TikToks on Instagram, which is where I watch most of my TikToks, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's looking into the camera and she's going, OnlyFans? Nuh-uh. I have AC upstairs and downstairs. Who would ever use OnlyFans? Like, it doesn't cool you off. But today is a beautiful day, so you don't need fans anyway.
Bless. I cannot wait until I become just so old that no one expects me to know anything. I was telling Dennis this weekend, we were watching this really old, not really old, but like this old horror movie, and their grandmother lived upstairs because she had been very, they didn't use the word traumatized. She was, I think, shocked by the death of her husband. And so she hadn't left her room in 30 years.
Oh my God.
And I said to Dennis, I cannot wait until I am so shocked by something that I don't have to leave my room. Like, that's a good excuse to not have to leave.
Speaking of staying inside, I had a weekend, and you know what, Bethany? You talked about this not that many episodes ago, about how some people, myself included, you included, we need to start leaving our houses more often.
Yeah, totally.
I haven't left my house since Thursday night. This is Monday morning.
Kathleen.
And Bethany, this is not unusual for me.
How's your mental health as a result?
Not good. Not good.
Mm-mm. No, not good. Mm-mm. Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. And I always think that a relaxing weekend where I do nothing is going to be so great. Mm-hmm. And then I wake up on Monday morning and I feel like absolute garbage.
Yeah, I know. I know. Isn't that crazy?
And so I think of like these people who never leave their houses, and I do put them on a pedestal. I'm like, that's amazing. And no one's there to criticize you for not leaving.
Yeah.
I have to start leaving my house more. I watched entirely too much TV this weekend. By the way, Grey's Anatomy was talking about horror movies and they were talking about jump scares, Bethany, and it made me think of you and Dennis.
Love a jump scare. They're not cheap. They're part of the vocabulary.
Have you seen these commercials, speaking about grandmas again, these commercials for a game? I think it's an online game, maybe a Facebook game called Merge Mansion.
No.
Okay.
Is it like a phone game? Is it like a casual gaming game?
I think it's a casual gaming game. They have made a handful of real people commercials for this game.
Okay.
And I get so excited. I'm like, oh, this looks like the best TV show ever.
Oh.
And then at the end, they reveal that it's a freaking video game. Yeah. And I'm like, don't make it with real people. I'm very excited, but I don't want to play your game.
You know what? That's happened to me before with book commercials. It doesn't happen very often.
On Sunday mornings on CBS, they do book commercials with real people all the time.
Yeah, like, and it's usually like a James Patterson novel or something, or like a Tom Clancy, where it's like people being real, like, mysterious and like running around and heisting stuff. And you're like, this looks amazing. I don't even recognize these actors, but this looks so good. And then it's like, coming soon, Tom Clancy's A Bullet Without a Body. And you're like, oh, man, that's not a movie at all.
I've never experienced blue balls in my life, but I imagine it's very similar to that feeling.
Yeah, I should be excited to read the book because I love a book. But if you're gonna show me something on one medium, I expect the thing you're showing me is for that medium.
I know.
You don't you know, don't show me a commercial for a brand new song.
I know.
You know, play me a commercial for a song on the thing where I'm listening to my music. Don't confuse me like that. I'm a simple person.
You know what? I'm with you. We wouldn't do a cartoon commercial for this podcast. No. That would just be false advertising.
You can't see the cartoon. It's a podcast, dummy. Come on.
I know. You remember those commercials for the iPod where it was just the color, the bright color in the background and then the black figure dancing with the white iPod.
Yeah, iconic.
Yes. So I learned that those were made right when the iPod came out in 2001, mm-hmm. but Steve mm-hmm. Jobs didn't let them be released until 2003 because he didn't think that people were going to get it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like he didn't think that they, what wouldn't they get?
Because the tagline when iPods first came out was something like 1,000 songs in your pocket. Right.
Okay.
And he didn't think that people were going to get the whole, like, you get to take your songs with you and you have so many songs with you with just the people dancing. Because literally all that commercial does is the song is playing and then at the end it just says iPod and that's it. And you don't really learn anything else about the product.
Oh, you know what? My initial reaction to that was he's not giving people enough credit. He was brilliant at advertising and I think he was correct. Because I've recently... recently posted stuff on social media.
Yeah.
Like I'll post a picture on Instagram and I'll give all of the information anyone could want to know in like the caption.
Yeah.
And then people will comment like, what is this? Where is this? Who is this? And everything is in the caption. I feel like sometimes we give people too much credit. And if people are passively taking in information, they're not going to bother to
read the caption.
Learn if something isn't spoon-fed to them. This is what I'm learning, and I think he was right about that.
Well, marketing mistake number one, Bethany, you're not supposed to put all the information in the caption because when people comment to find out what they want to find out about your post, then that sends engagement up. So you're not supposed to like their comments. You're supposed to just comment on people's comments, okay, to get the engagement up. And then the next time you post, then go back and like all the comments from your previous post. So it's a constant cycle of engagement. So it's not like too much at once.
Here's my thing. That's very interesting. I didn't know that. Thank you for that information.
You're welcome.
I post on social media the way that I use social media, which is if I'm casually looking at someone's post and I want a piece of information from it, if it's not there, I move on or I just start researching myself. I'm not going to take the time to comment and see if they're going to get back to me with the information I want. I'm just going to go find it myself. And so I'm like, I'm just going to give you the information so that you don't have to waste your time Googling or trying to find the keywords, blah, blah, blah. So maybe that's why my engagement isn't like 100% amazing, but I also don't have the time to be going back and then like strategically liking comments. And but this, Kathleen, this has to do with my topic today, because a woman on Instagram who has 1.2 million followers says that when she shares the more traumatic events of her life on social media, she gets more engagement.
Of course.
Which is fucked up.
It's because I don't, I think it's 50% fucked up and 50% of course, only because people like to see the people that they follow on social being real. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
There, this poor girl, this home influencer, home decor influencer. I'm trying to find what her name is.
Is she the one who bought the castle?
No, I am going to be talking about the one who bought the castle in my section. So I've been really digging into tile lately. And there's one blogger had a post from a few years ago about this very affordable, very small black slate hexagonal tile with black grout. Bethany, it is such a chic look.
Like the black baseball cap I have with the black Mets logo.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Chic.
What is it about black on black when it's two different textures?
It's subtle. It's beautiful.
She has this thing on her blog where it's this photo of a bathroom she redid, but she doesn't link exactly what she used, but she says it's affordable. And I was like, I have to know. So I find her on Instagram. I peeled back through her entire Instagram history looking for her Instagram post about this tile. It is not there. So then I message her on Instagram, but because because I am not verified, my messages go to like the spam messages section where you have to approve them before they show up in your real inbox.
Yeah.
And so then I start commenting on her posts. Hey, sent you a message. Hey, sent you a message.
Kathleen, you are that person. Oh, no.
All I wanted to know is what the tile was. And she was so gracious and not at all frightened by my by my forwardness. And she told me what the tile was. And it was from a great tile store that has affordable options called Floor and Decor. But I was that psycho.
What was the kind of tile?
It was just black slate hexagon. It was just something
from
simple.
From Floor and Decor.
Yeah, from Floor and Decor, yeah.
Well, Kathleen, you have just saved... uh-huh. all of our listeners a ton of Google searching so that they too can find the same black hexagonal bathroom tile from Floor and Decor.
I'm not a psycho.
Sponsored by Floor and Decor, but hashtag if you want to sponsor us, Floor and Decor, absolutely go ahead.
Oh, I love Floor and Decor. I can talk about them for ages. Bethany, let's go to a land far, far away.
Okay.
My shower.
Oh, the luxurious land of shower.
And in the winter, I suffer from just debilitating dry skin on every inch of my body. And when I step out of my shower, I slather myself with the most amazing oil from Osea, because their famous body oil makes me feel luxurious, glowy, soft, and most importantly, nourished.
Osea's body oil has become a staple in my day-to-day life. If my feet are dry, I use it. At the end of every day, my nose is a little bit raw because I'm always blowing my nose. And so the skin under my nose turns red. And so I just take a little bit of the Osea body oil. I dab it on my nose. I dab it on my knuckles in the winter.
Yeah.
Anything you need, Osea's body oil can do it for you, because it's this luxurious oil that rubs in like a lotion. It's not going to leave a greasy feel. It rubs in immediately, but gives you the nourishment of an oil.
And my favorite part of Osea is that it's vegan and it's cruelty-free. So it's not only safe to use on your skin, it is safe for the planet.
And they've done it again. They just released a body butter that has been proven to moisturize skin for up to 72 hours.
Its rich texture feels so, so good on my skin, and it's not sticky. I look so moisturized and healthy. It goes a long way. A little bit goes a long way.
So find your new skincare favorites at OseaMalibu.com and get a special discount just for our listeners.
Get 10% off of your first order with promo code TASTE at OseaMalibu.com.
You'll get free samples with every order, and orders over $50 get free shipping.
You're going to want it all. OseaMalibu.com, and then use the code TASTE. All right, Bethany, today I want to talk about becoming a teacher and embracing your expertise.
Okay.
I know that we have a lot of teachers that listen to this podcast, and more I've been hearing about teachers leaving teaching, you know, school teaching.
Yeah.
They're doing their own thing. Specifically, my internet friend Kathleen quit her art teaching job this year. She's a middle school art teacher and is like, I'm going to jump into the gig economy. And maybe that includes teaching, but in a different capacity.
And it's not that she didn't love teaching, right?
Yeah.
Was it the parents? What was the, what pushed her over the edge?
It just didn't bring her as much joy as it used to.
Yeah.
And she wanted to explore the gig economy.
Okay, cool.
And Bethany, you and I, we exist professionally in the gig economy.
Yeah.
We've been here for a number of years now.
Yeah. We have to pay quarterly taxes. We don't get, you sent me an email this morning making sure that we had all of our tax information and all the new laws.
Yep. And this podcast may seem like a steady gig, but it does not have the stability of a full-time job.
Nope.
And honestly, we truly have no idea what our income is going to look like from 1 month to the next.
Yeah. Oh, it's always fun to see. Hey, am I poor this month?
I know. It's like that email at the end of the month. Like, how much did we make?
Yeah.
How many bags of ramen do we have to eat next month?
No, but really everything's fine.
And that's why you and I have both been sort of like toying with the idea and also actively working on the idea of diversifying our income streams.
Totally.
And it's amazing in the sense that we get to work for ourselves on our own terms, but it's also terrifying at times.
Yeah.
And I'll get into it. As I mentioned on this podcast, I've started a new design business where I'm going to try and do a variety of different things. I'm still working out the details, but I know that a part of that is going to include some form of teaching.
Which is great. I feel like teaching is such a wonderful aspect to any profession.
Yeah.
I know many actors who are professional actors, mm-hmm. but they also teach classes because that often is more steady income than, you know, waiting for your next acting gig.
I find so much joy and fulfillment watching other people grow and watching ideas spark in people's heads. I'm really toying with the idea of putting together a class to teach podcasting to kids.
Oh, Kathleen, that's amazing. That would be so great.
Thank you. And because I don't think that podcasting is something that schools are teaching yet.
No.
And I know that there are kids out there, like total radio, talk radio nerds like I was when I was in middle school. I used to have a cassette tape and put it in my boombox and then record myself talking to a fictional pen pal.
Mm-hmm.
I always just wanted to make stories to capture other people. And
sure.
I am really interested in the idea of digital teaching
mm-hmm.
because you can reach so many people. Also, if you have a good digital class, Bethany, it is a fucking cash cow.
Oh my God. I'm in two different acting seminars, like business seminars for the business side of acting. And I see the amount of money that comes out of my bank account every month. And I'm like, God damn.
I know.
Good for them.
It's because there's a demand for what that person has to offer.
Yep.
Earlier this month, Forbes contributor Mike Swigunski. Wow. That's a last name.
That is a name.
He wrote this article, "The Great Resignation has caused a perfect storm for the gig economy." And he writes, "The gig economy was already a thing long before the pandemic hit. Modest estimations suggest that 50% of the U.S. workforce will have engaged in the gig economy by 2027. Bethany, 50% of the U.S. workforce will be in the gig economy by 2027.
Whoa.
However, it seems that this estimation has been obliterated by the occurrences of the last 2 years. So it's probably going to be even more than that.
Because you have people who are laid off.
Yeah.
And, you know, who like they're either their employers closed because of the pandemic or cut down on employees.
Yes.
And then you also have the people who like quit their jobs because they hated them.
Yep.
And moved on to gigs. So it's like, so a bunch of different people moved into the gig economy.
Exactly. And the gig economy, Bethany, has tripled its growth rate in the last year alone.
That's crazy.
And like I said before, it's terrifying. You and I both have been open about our struggles with finding healthcare and when I was buying a house because I worked for myself, it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
Like I really had to work so much harder to convince the banks that I was making money.
Yeah. And these companies aren't always the best to their employees.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what the situation with Uber is now.
Yeah.
But I remember a couple of years ago, there was a big issue where Uber didn't want to classify its gig workers as employees because it didn't want to have to offer insurance and all of the stuff that comes with being a quote unquote employee. And, you know, you don't necessarily have all the rights in the world when you are a gig worker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And luckily I'm married. But if I weren't married, I just want to preface everything I'm saying today by I know how lucky I am because gig working when you are supporting yourself and you don't have a partner is totally different than when you have a partner who can provide you health insurance.
Yeah. It's often, can I go to the doctor
or
can I buy food this week?
I think I will forever be drawn to the idea of working for myself. I would go back to working for a company if I had to, probably in some sort of consulting capacity where it was like a defined period of time I would be working for them. Could you go back to working for someone else, you think?
If it was in the entertainment industry as a performer, but like I'm in the position where it's like I know where my passion is and I know that I'm not ready to give up on it. And so I'm not going to like, I'm not going to take a 40-hour a week desk job because at that point it's just going to hold me back too much from actively going after what I want. So no, unless working for someone else is like, okay, Paramount, I will be in your movie. Absolutely.
I don't know if Paramount signs actors to its like employee registry, you know?
No, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, then you are working for someone else.
Yeah. You expect fully to be in the gig economy for, you know, the foreseeable outcome / the rest of your life. And what really draws me to working for myself is that I get freedom that I didn't have before.
I think that there's this, there's like the romanticized version of it. And then there's the real version of it where, it's the freedom. It's absolutely the freedom to do what you want to do with your time. It also means that work never ends because you are not a nurse who can leave your patients at the hospital and go home and know that literally you can't bring your work home because the patients are at the hospital and someone else has to handle them. It's like you always have clients emailing you and calling you, and you always have emails to answer, and you always have projects to finish.
You do.
And it's awesome, and it's also stressful.
It is. And that is sort of why I like the idea of diversifying my income with some sort of digital class.
Yeah.
It's not 100% cut and dry where you make this digital class and you put it online and you never have to touch it again, because there's all sorts of marketing and email answering and like other ongoing things that come with it. I just want to bring up this idea of teaching in a different capacity to anyone who's listening right now, who has an expertise, who hasn't really thought to themselves, wow, I am an expert at this. And like, people would probably pay good money to learn the skills that I have. A couple of weeks ago, I took this wallpaper class from this woman who runs this amazing Instagram account called @Greystone on Waverly. She bought a small castle. And by small, I mean, you know, like I think you could fit five of those, my apartment five times into her house.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, at first, I wasn't sure about the money. It was $100. And at first, I was like, is this going to be the biggest waste of $100 that I've ever spent in my life? Mm-hmm. Bethany, I walked out of that class feeling like it was the best $100 I've ever spent in my life. And what we did was we went to her house. We watched her talk about wallpaper, her experience putting it up. We walked all over her house and she explained like the different wallpapers in one room versus another and how she matched up the seams. And then we spent a while watching her put up wallpaper in one of her rooms. And she walked us through the tools that she uses and the tips and tricks that she uses. And what an amazing skill to have. And also to market it. So you're getting paid to do something that you were going to do anyway.
So she doesn't let you wallpaper at all, though.
No.
So you didn't even get to try it. And that's a skill that she's able to sell.
I didn't have to try it because I watched her do it. And now I can come home and wallpaper at my own house knowing the tips and the techniques that it has took her years and years and years to learn.
Wow. Yeah. And she figured out how to get paid to do her own home renovations.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
And I'm thinking about all the different things out there that people have expertise in that other people would pay them, literally pay them to learn.
Yeah.
Like, you and Dennis could write a digital course or give a digital course or, I don't know, give an in-person course on how to shoot a short film, you know?
Yep.
Like an intro to script writing and an intro to the equipment you need and an intro to lighting. And it's like it could be like a 10-part course and you and Dennis could teach it and absolutely people would sign up.
So here's my question. And I don't know if you have the answer for this or not. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do? Because everybody wants and can usually get everything for free. Like if you're looking for something, if you're looking to learn something, there's probably a YouTube video that teaches you how to do it. How does one get people to sign up for your digital content and pay money when they could arguably find it for free online?
Because people aren't quite as savvy as you think, Bethany. And people like shit spelled out for them.
Yeah.
This is how you start. This is the middle of your project. This is the end of your project. And a lot of times when you have a digital course, you give like a step-by-step how-to and they leave with this sort of manifesto on how to do the skill that you taught them. Mm-hmm. I take so much joy in the pursuit of learning. I recently put in my Instagram bio, like always learning, curious human, always learning. And in the past, I've taken classes on calligraphy, flower design, cooking classes. I've done continuing education classes in illustration and Adobe After Effects, Adobe Illustrator, web architecture, typography. Next month, I'm taking candle making class, which is a new one for me. I'm excited. And right now, I am in a digital class for surface design.
Now, what's surface design?
Surface design is basically like designing the surface of anything, whether that be wallpaper or wrapping paper or phone cases or packaging, you know, beer cans, wine bottles.
So it's surface like design. So it's like pattern yes. and labels,
yes.
that kind of thing?
Okay. Exactly, pattern and labels. I'm taking it from the quote-unquote master of surface design. She is this artist. Her name is Bonnie Christine. I paid $1,500 to take this course.
Oh, how long is the course?
It's an 8-week course, okay? So it's not like I buy one digital video
yeah.
and then it's an eight week course, and it comes with study sessions, like once okay. a week study sessions. And the course is beautifully set up. You log into this module and you go through like all of these different videos. Like it's broken up into a way that's really easily digestible. Mm-hmm. So Bonnie Christine releases her surface design immersion course once a year. I suspect that she has upwards of 500 plus people signed up in this current session. So let's very quickly do the math on that. $1,500 a person times 600 people, that's $900,000.
Holy shit. Does she make herself available?
She has a team of people that she pays to be available to answer questions at any time. And she also does Q&A sessions, mm-hmm. you know, a handful of times. It is genius. This is something that she learned how to do, that mm-hmm. she recognized there was a need in the market for it. Mm-hmm. She figured out a way to beautifully put together this course. Mm-hmm. And it's not passive income per se, but she's definitely making like $1 million a year on it.
And it's the cool thing about that is that there's no limit on the number of people
yeah.
who can attend this course. It's not mm-hmm. like the certain number of people who can fit in a room
yep.
or a certain number of people who – there's no limited quantity of anything. So if 1 million people sign up for this class, that's fine. That's great.
It's great. And you're only allowed to register between like a handful of days, which drums up urgency. Like I have to register.
Yeah. Scarcity drives people, you know, wanting to spend money.
And hopefully if I can make any money off of my design business this year, I'll be able to write off a portion of that for continuing education. But let me tell you, if you're listening to this and you have a hobby, I want to let you know that the IRS knows the difference between a business and a hobby.
Yes, they do.
So you can't just take a basket weaving and be like, oh, I'm going to write this off on my taxes. You have to show a profit in basket weaving. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to sell some baskets.
So Bonnie Christine has a team of people to help her do this. But there are also amazing online resources like Skillshare.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Masterclass.
Masterclass. I know I never yeah. shut up to Bethany about Masterclass. I feel like every time we log in to podcast together, I'm like, ooh, Bethany, did you know that that Shonda Rhimes on Masterclass? Like blah, 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 blah. And I love this idea of constantly learning. And I know that other people do. And if you have a skill where you are absolutely the best one to teach it, like, please lean in. Because I think a lot of us second guess our expertise.
I think that's an important thing to note is
yeah.
you may not be an expert in hard and fast things. Like,
yeah.
you may not be the best, you know, tile layer, but you may be incredibly good at interpersonal relationships. You may be super good mm-hmm. at identifying your own feelings or self-reflection and figuring out, you know, what your own motivations have been in the past, where you've yeah. gone wrong in relationships. And those are things that other people need help with, that,
yes.
you know, you're not a mental health professional, but you're someone who can be a good coach.
Yes.
It's maybe the less tangible things that you have an expertise in.
And maybe your expertise is getting people started.
Yeah.
Like Tile laying. Maybe you're not the best tile layer to ever exist in this world, but maybe you're the best one at giving other people the tools that they need to dip their toe into the world of tile laying.
When I was in middle school, my freshman year of high school, we were convinced our Spanish teacher was only one lesson ahead of us in Spanish because like he knew enough to teach us, but he didn't know enough to answer some higher level questions that someone might have. So we were like, he doesn't know, he's not an expert, but he's just better than us enough to teach us.
Exactly. You know, the other day, this guy that I used to hook up with in high school, I mean, he was like a really good kisser. I'm thinking about that right now. Anyway, sorry.
Should I call Neil and keep him distracted while you have a moment? No.
He was writing on his Facebook about refinishing some woodwork in his house. And I knew I could answer the question. And there were people commenting and I started to type a response and then I deleted it. I started to type a response and then I was like, nah, nobody wants to hear what I have to say. And I was like, fuck it. Like, I could teach a course in this. Why don't I have enough confidence to just put a stupid comment on Facebook?
Yeah.
And I think that that is like a large hurdle that some people are going to face if they ever consider teaching a class like this. And it doesn't have to be digital. Like, it could be at your community center. Like, maybe you have a grandma who decided to start a small business and you kind of understand the skill set of people in her age group. And so you could go to the community center and teach digital marketing to senior citizens who are starting small businesses later in their life. A part of this course that I'm taking is this study group. And the study group that I'm in is so funny because it's people of all different ages, 5 different women. And one woman, she must be in late 60s, early 70s. She's at study group, Bethany, and she's quilting the whole time. She's quilting.
And it keeps her brain focused, probably.
Yeah. And she's so sweet. When she can't hear something, she leans closer to the computer. So all we see is like the side of her face. And there's another woman who's in her late 50s and she just got laid off from an art director position. And another woman in the group owns her own jewelry company. And another woman does freelance illustration for children's books. And what an amazing group of people who have specialties in all of these different areas. Mm-hmm. Like the woman, the older woman who is the quilter, we were talking about patterns that sell well because she used to own her own quilting store a handful of years ago. And she like straight out looked at all of us on Zoom and was like, birds. If you can draw birds, bird patterns sell so well.
I love birds. I have birds all over the place in my apartment.
I know.
What is that about?
I know. And it was so interesting to hear everybody with a common goal of getting better at surface design, mm-hmm. but with specialties in all of these different little areas. And I thought we could each teach a class.
Yeah.
Totally. And I would sign up for each and every one of these women's classes.
Yeah.
So, gentle listener, I am just leaving a little inkling of an idea here for you. And maybe I also needed to hear this idea today. Like, you know, sometimes people say they write the books that they needed to read.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Maybe this is the podcast topic that I needed to hear.
Yeah.
But what are you an expert in? And do you have the skills to teach someone about it?
Kathleen, I don't know about you, but if you have ever accidentally overdrafted your account and then you get that overdraft fee, it's like, that's just wasted money. You just see like 25, 35 bucks just down the drain. And I always think I could have bought, you know, so many impulse buys at Target with that $25 or $35.
It makes me so mad.
Yeah.
And really, the last thing that my checking balance needs when it's running low is an overdraft fee.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's the whole problem is you don't have enough money. But with Chime, an award-winning app and debit card, you can save that hard-earned money without paying overdraft fees.
Eligible members can overdraft up to $200 on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals with absolutely no overdraft fees. Let's role play for a second, okay, Bethany?
Sure.
There's $60 in your checking account.
Yeah.
You accidentally spend $61.
Yeah.
What is Chime going to do to you?
They're not going to charge me an overdraft fee. Now, will they call me and and congratulate me on an awesome purchase? Probably not, no. But they're not going to punish me for making an awesome purchase.
And one of the great things about Chime is that they have 60,000 fee-free in-network ATMs at many locations like Walgreens, 7-Eleven, where Bethany gets her favorite type of pizza, CVS. You can also access your money when you need it, where you need it.
So make your first good decision in 2022 and join over 10 million people using Chime.
Sign up takes only 2 minutes and it doesn't affect your credit score. So get started at chime.com/taste.
That's chime.com/taste. Banking services provided by and debit card issued by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Eligibility requirements and overdraft limits may apply. Overdraft only applies to debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. Limits start at $20 and may be increased up to $200 by Chime. See chime.com/spotme.
Bethany, I would like to invite you over to my house.
Okay.
So I can take off my pants and show you all of the scars that I have on my legs from shaving before you and I were introduced to the Athena Club.
Kathleen, I will too take off my pants and show you all of my scars from shaving, because before we met Athena Club and their razor kit, you and I were both using those cheap razors that are not great, because regular, like, quote unquote good razors are so expensive.
And then there's pink tax, because the company is like, oh, you're a lady, the handle is pink, $5 more.
Exactly. That's why we love Athena Club. Their razor is designed with built-in skin guards to help prevent razor burn while being gentle on curves. And the razor kit is only $9, and it comes with 2 blade heads, a magnetic hook for shower storage, and your choice of handle color.
Oh man, they have 6 color options. So really, the world is your oyster when it comes to your razor.
Yeah, if you're like Kathleen and you love color, you can get color. I have the blue because I went out of my comfort zone, but they do have black and white too.
I have the pink one. And you know, one of my favorite products from Athena Club is their Cloud Shave Foam Cream. I was totally a shave with soap and water type girl before I met Athena Club. And their Cloud Shave Foam Cream is the perfect accoutrement to smooth legs and a high quality razor.
Absolutely. Everything Athena Club has is so wonderful. So show your skin you care with the Athena Club Razor Kit. Sign up today and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Just go to athenaclub.com and use the promo code TASTE.
That's athenaclub.com with the promo code TASTE for 20% off. Kathleen, what would you say is the biggest parasocial relationship you've ever had?
I really like Gwyneth Paltrow.
That was the one I was going to come up with.
I mean, I'm not obsessed with her like some people think I am. It's mainly a joke at this point, though. The other day I did use that new software where you can put in a book and it reads it back to you, and the company offers Gwyneth Paltrow's voice. Wait, hang on. Let me look up the name of this company. It's called Speechify. It's and I'm thinking of Paris. There are definitely influencers whom I check every day because I like their content. And once when I was 16, I wrote an email to Mario Cantone because I saw him in a record store in Times Square. But other than that, I'm not a huge super fan of anybody in the sense that I feel like I have a relationship with them.
So here's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
Parasocial relationships, as I was doing this research, they can be so much more subtle than we think of. Because I looked at a bunch of websites for this, and one described it in terms of like a romantic thing. It's when one person has feelings for someone who doesn't know or communicate back.
Okay, yeah.
But that's not the only thing.
So like Chris Hayes and me?
Right. That's a parasocial relationship according to this website. But I think that's a more old version of it. Because now, like I said in segment one, a parasocial relationship talks and describes people who form intense and one-sided attachments to celebrities or public figures. And the thing that I learned about it is that it's actually pretty normal, because if you think about it, the majority of the time humans have been on this earth and our brains have been evolving, media was not a thing.
Media was your local village and that was it.
Right, right. So this is a very, very new phenomenon where we see videos or audio of people and they're not talking to us. So our brains still assume these interactions are real because that's really what our brains have evolved to know.
And good influencers, people who are really good at their jobs, they have techniques that make it seem like they are talking directly to us, but really we don't know this person at all.
Totally. And also, because of social media, something is done to our brains when posts from our friends show up alongside posts from public figures. So they all kind of get mishmashed together in your brain as these are all people in my orbit. These are all people I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get that. Is there anybody like that for you?
So you know how they say never meet your idols?
Oh, yeah.
That's because of parasocial relationships, right? Like you have envisioned what this person is like. You assume that if you ever met them in real life, they would be happy to have you over. Yeah. You'd be friends automatically.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. And so I used to follow this dog on Instagram, Buddy Boo Waggy Tails. And it never occurred to me, Kathleen, until I was doing this research, people have parasocial relationships with animals as well.
Oh.
And when I met Buddy Boo Waggy Tails in person backstage at an event,
yeah,
I was like, this dog is an asshole. And it's not because I knew the dog.
Yeah.
It's because I had only ever seen pictures of Buddy Boo Waggy Tails smiling in his little teddy bear cut,
yeah,
smiling at the camera.
Yeah.
And when I met him in real life, he was a dog.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And he was like barking at people and he was poorly behaved because he was stressed out and he was backstage and he was like, he's a puppy and he wants to just be a dog. And he let me down in every way as far as meeting this animal that I expected would be one way and was actually another. And that's when I realized, oh, man, I had an unfair expectation. I had a total parasocial relationship with this dog.
Wow. I've never, ever thought about it that way before. Damn.
Here's the other thing. Thanks to social media, people we don't know, we know what their bathrooms look like.
Yep.
We know what their family looks like. We know how they celebrate the holidays. We know how their house is decorated, what city they were born in. We know their friends, if they have their friends on their social media accounts.
Yeah.
We know so much about them that we feel like we're friends. And
yeah,
we know that we would be friends if given the opportunity, even if that's not true.
You're right. You're 100% right. And nothing brings me more joy when I realize two people I follow on Instagram, influencers or artists or whatnot, when they're friends with each other and then they start showing up on each other's feeds. I'm like, why am I not there with you?
Yeah. It's like, that's exciting. My two friends met each other.
Yeah. No, you're true. It's a weird one-sided way to live. It's weird. Yeah.
Now, this isn't always a bad thing. Mm-hmm. For a lot of us, parasocial relationships helped us get through the pandemic.
Yes.
Because we were isolated in our homes for a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And I know I turned to podcasts to comfort me. Voices that I was familiar with, voices that I was happy to hear. Listening to podcasts every day, the whole day, made a lot of us feel like other people were in the house with us or our friends were around. And that is not a bad thing.
Mm-mm.
It's also super helpful if somebody you identify with opens up about a trauma or something they're going through, a health condition or insecurities.
Yeah.
Because if you can identify with them, it also helps normalize a lot of things that many of us feel super isolated about.
That's one of my favorite things about social media.
Yeah.
Being able to see that there are other women out there who have the same learning disabilities that I have and they're not total failures in life.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can inspire you. They can motivate you. They're healthy when they provide comfort and familiarity, which is something we all need. Here's where it turns bad.
Uh-oh.
People who have an anxious, preoccupied attachment style, people who are like, when they're in relationships, they often question whether their partner truly loves them.
Yeah.
They need a lot of reassurance from external sources. Those types of people are most likely to engage in these one-sided, intense parasocial relationships.
What's the difference between, and maybe there isn't, or maybe it's so fine that it's hard to define, mm-hmm. but what is the difference between stalking and an intense parasocial relationship?
I think that stalking comes from an intense parasocial relationship.
Ah, okay.
I think it is where you cross the line. This mm-hmm. is not anything I read anywhere. This is my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I think when you have a parasocial relationship plus some mental disorders, mm-hmm. plus maybe some just like some anxiety issues or some attachment disorders, mm-hmm. I think that's where it crosses the line into a stalker.
Gotcha. Okay.
And this is really interesting. So from wellandgood.com, these really intense parasocial relationships, they said, quote, these people may believe fantasies such as, if I walked through the door of one of my favorite celebrities' home, they would be happy to see me,
wow.
which I think we've all done. I remember growing up and having crushes on different famous guys and thinking, if they saw me in a crowd,
yeah.
they would know I'm different. They would see me, and the second they saw me, they would stop, and they would be like, you're the one for me.
Have you ever seen that meme where it's this girl, she posts a picture of herself being 12 years old, where she's got like a baby tee layered underneath a spaghetti strap tank top, and yeah. and above it, the text says something like, this was the outfit that I really thought was going to catch Nick Jonas's eye, and we were going to be together forever.
Yep, totally. Yep, I've seen that, and it's so true.
Yeah.
And I've had other people say that to me. Like, you know, in our past life, we worked at concerts a lot, and mm-hmm. I was like doing an appearance with someone. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who it was, but it was like an artist. And this girl who was maybe 12 years old said to me, I know I'm going to end up with him.
Oh.
I know he's going to see me and he's going to know that I'm the one for him.
It scares me to hear uh-huh. you say that a 12-year-old said that, because when you and I were 12, what did we have to look at? We had magazines, we would yeah. buy posters, but we didn't even buy them online. We had to go to the bookstore to buy them.
Yeah.
We had, I don't know, CD inserts or whatever. And that is what we had to like yeah. fuel our fantasies. But yeah. now... Kids these days, they have the internet where there's endless mm-hmm. information about their favorite online personalities or celebrities.
And here's where it can get dark.
Yeah.
If these people are intensely attached to this celebrity or influencer, mm-hmm. they are likely to avoid and become actually disinterested in genuine relationships because they already identify as being in a relationship.
Oh, no.
And because the internet has allowed people to have more and more information about the person that they have this parasocial relationship with,
yeah.
it also allows them to see the sides of the person they may not like.
Mm-hmm.
This happened in our day, but it still happens where like pop stars mm-hmm. are encouraged to hide relationships that they're in
yeah.
because they want the fans to think they have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you as a 13-year-old are in love with a K-pop star, and then you start digging and digging and digging online and you see and uncover pictures of this star with a partner.
Yeah.
It devastates you.
Yeah, because you feel like you've been lied to.
Yes.
Even though you haven't been lied to.
Yes.
Because you don't know this person at all and you're a weirdo.
Yes. Yes. So these biggest mm-hmm. fans can often turn into the most violent, hateful people.
Ugh.
When you as an influencer mm-hmm. do something that they don't agree with.
Ugh.
Because you've not only just disappointed them,
yeah.
they feel like it's a personal affront to them. It feels like they don't know you anymore.
Because they felt like they had access, personal access
yes.
to your life.
Yep.
Even though it was just what you were sharing on social media.
Yes.
And
yes.
they don't have yep. personal access to your life because everybody is really calculated in what they share.
Yep.
And you don't know that person at all.
There's they talked to this influencer named Camille Charrier. She has 1.2 million followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. She said that the things on social media that used to work, like keeping it impersonal, showing your outfits, showing a highly curated grid, doesn't work anymore. What people are demanding and what the algorithm is promoting is these super personal struggles, family stuff, mm-hmm. mental health problems, showing really intimate, relatable things
yeah.
where if you make your money mm-hmm. on social media, you feel pressured to show more and more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And as women, it's even more endorsed.
Yes.
Like these two hosts of this podcast called Shameless, Zara McDonald and Michelle Andrews, they talk about how women are taught to be caretakers and society is taught to expect that from women. Huh. Like one thing I've heard is if you work in an office and the office acknowledges people's birthdays yeah. and makes sure everyone signs a card, who is usually in your office in charge of making that happen? It's probably a woman.
Of course. Of course.
And these women on this podcast had internalized these expectations that if they have a platform, they must expose the most traumatic sides of their lives to help other people. Like it was a requirement.
Hmm.
And so one of the hosts opened up about being sexually assaulted when she was 18.
Yeah.
And all of these people started sending her messages telling their stories of being assaulted. And as she's trying to heal from this and
yeah.
be aware of how vulnerable she's made herself and sort of like cope with that vulnerability, mm-hmm. she is getting inundated with full stories of everyone's sexual assaults.
Yeah.
And she said on social media, she said, please, please do not send me your stories of assault because it was really affecting her mental health. And when she did that, she said some women got aggressively angry.
What the fuck?
Because they viewed her as their friend. And if they had opened up to her and been incredibly vulnerable and told the story of their sexual assault, which is a hard thing to do, yeah. if she didn't respond personally to their messages, they felt let down. They wanted mm. her to provide them with the emotional support that a real friend would have. And she wasn't a real friend. And so these super fans turned into super enemies, and she got vitriolic hate and she got angry messages. And this happens all the time. You see music stars like Charlie XCX had to go off of social media. I know Lizzo's had to go off of social media because if they release music that their fans don't like, mm-hmm. the fans feel entitled to the music they want and they get aggressively angry and they start spewing hate online. And these artists are like, oh my God, everyone's mad at me. I'm just trying to do my job.
Oh my, I am equal parts outraged and I also want to cry.
Why?
Because what was the name of the podcaster who shared her trauma about being assaulted?
Michelle Andrews is the one who opened up.
So Michelle Andrews, who went out on a limb, mm-hmm. who was extremely vulnerable and shared her story and then got all this backlash because she didn't also want to read other stories of assault because mm-hmm. it didn't help her move forward.
Right.
It makes me sad because a world in where people share their insecurities with one another, mm-hmm. share their personal struggles with one another, is a better world where we can normalize this stuff. Mm-hmm. But when people start demanding things of you because you wanted to do a little bit of good by mm-hmm. sharing your own story, it makes you want to go back into your shell. It makes mm-hmm. it makes the turtle want to go back into its little hidey hole. And I really, you know, it's like one of my favorite things about social media is learning and normalizing weird everyday things that people go through, you know, traumatic experiences where people can find a community and heal. But when you hear of something so awful like that, it makes me hate social media. It makes me want it all to go away despite making yeah. my living off of mm-hmm. creating content.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's really easy for us too to see these, mm-hmm. you know, fans lash out and point at them and say, that's awful.
Yeah.
But how many times have we looked at a celebrity divorce and said, yeah. I'm team this, but I'm team that.
Oh.
Like, the yeah. thing that made me think of this the most recently was when John Mulaney got a divorce.
I was just going to say John Mulaney, yep. Bethany, because I was anti-John Mulaney for a while.
Yep.
But I truly have no idea what happened.
Right. And I was talking to my younger sister about this because, you know, we both had like watched John Mulaney specials together and stuff.
Yeah.
And if you don't know John Mulaney's stand-up, he always presented himself as a very, almost like a dandy. He was always dressed up, always in a, like a nice suit, presented himself as like this anachronistic guy. Like he spoke like a dandy, very flowery language, straight back and kind of nerdy. Definitely very nerdy, actually. And, you know,
the way, Bethany, the way you're holding your body right now, I swear to goodness, you could be a John Mulaney. What do they call it when people show up to parties and they look
impersonator?
Like yeah, you could. You had his all of his like physical mechanisms down pat.
But then we see pictures of him, you know, with Olivia Munn, and he's wearing a scruffy T-shirt and he has a 5 o'clock shadow. Mm-hmm. And people were disgusted. Yeah. And I remember I was like, I'm disgusted.
Yeah.
And my sister pointed out, it's hard when your public image is, you know, when people hold you to the public image you've created for when you are specifically on a stage.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's because we assumed that we kind of knew him. I don't think any of us have nefarious goals when we're like, suddenly realizing we associate with a person or we have a parasocial relationship with someone. We never intend for it to be a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I think we need to catch ourselves when we realize that this person we look up to voted for someone different or made a mistake, said something wrong, and we lash out at them.
Yeah.
Because they are a person who does not know you. Mm-hmm. And as Sarah Silverman said, I'm just a person you've heard of. So here's where things turned dark.
Okay.
Here's a couple of situations.
Yeah.
Last year, a super successful influencer who went by the name Mercedes Moore was murdered after a 34-year-old Florida man showed up to her house. He then killed himself in her bedroom. So he killed her first, then he killed himself. He had scrolled over the walls in her lipstick things like, she led me to think she cared about me but wore another man's ring. I wish I'd never met her, and I was used for money. Now, she had a bunch of sources of income. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, he gave her money on these different platforms she was on, that was his choice. But he had it in his head that they were in a relationship to the point where when she was with someone else, he lost his mind.
Oh, my God.
And I think one that hit us all was in 2016. Christina Grimmie was performing in Orlando.
Yep.
After her show, she was signing autographs when a man approached her. He was 27. And according to his friend, he had been obsessed with Christina. He was trying to make himself more physically attractive. He was trying to lose weight. He was trying to get hair transplants. He was trying to get better clothes. Also, she would be attracted to him.
Oh.
He did not know her personally. She did not know him. He showed up to her meet and greet, and as she opened her arms to give him a hug, he shot her 3 times.
She was the first person when you started talking about this that I was thinking about because he was convinced they were in a relationship.
Yep. And those are the extreme cases, but we all do this. And I think that the conclusion is if you are on social media and if you are someone who has a platform, like every relationship in our lives, it is up to us to do the hard work of creating boundaries. Yeah. So if you have a lot of followers, it is also up to you to create those boundaries and make sure people know where you stand. It is also important that us as consumers need to be realistic and remember that everyone we look up to is fallible. Everyone we look up to is going to make a mistake. And if you see them and they don't run up to hug you, it's not a personal affront. It's a good reminder that our real friends are in our lives and we should value and cherish them. People we look up to are just people we've heard of.
I always tell the story about how when I got a chance to talk to Gwyneth Paltrow on the radio, she wasn't as thrilled to meet me as I was to meet her. And now I realize I am the one at fault.
Parasocial relationships. It's so normal. Never meet your idols is a saying for a reason.
I wonder if also there, to an extent, when we see these people we follow on social bring their barriers down, it teaches us also to bring our barriers down. And maybe we need to keep those barriers up more so than we think.
It's amazing how quickly our boundaries can fall. Like Mercedes, the woman who was killed, she would sometimes get gifts from people who followed her. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, sometimes you go back and forth with people and you kind of get a sense of who they are. And yeah. you can start to trust pretty quickly. Some people had her home address. She would get gifts sent to her home address. Oh. And her family said, looking back, she should have had a P.O. box.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was a sweet person. Mm-hmm. And that's probably how this guy got her address. And it's a good reminder that no matter who you are,
yeah,
just be really careful with who you're communicating online. And remember, like, the people we see in real life are the people who matter. Kathleen, this last week, you and I were finally able to get back into the studio together. And I happened to look over at your left hand uh-huh. and I saw you had this beautiful gold ring with these beautiful little diamonds in it. And I realized that's her ring from Orate.
Sure is, Bethany. I wear that ring every day. I threw my engagement ring in the trash and I wear my Orate diamond gold banded ring on my wedding finger every day because it's just so simple and beautiful. It's literally one of my favorite things that I own.
I also love this really delicate ring I have of theirs. It's a delicate gold band with a little circle on top that just says B. Oh. And I love it because it's simple. I can wear it every single day and it goes with anything.
And all Orate pieces come with a lifetime warranty because they know that it lasts.
And if you're like, well, I can't afford fine jewelry, think again, because mm-hmm. Orate sells directly to you. They can offer the same quality as traditional Fifth Avenue brands at a fraction of the cost because they're not adding a middleman markup. By the way, you can pay with Klarna, Swedish for shopping, because it makes their items even more accessible to you. You just shop now and pay over time.
So, gentle listeners, right now, get a special extended access to the All Humankind sale for International Women's Day and shop early throughout the whole month of March.
You'll get 20% off any purchase site-wide. That's 20% off with no minimum spend for all new and returning customers. And they rarely have discounts as high as 20% off, so we really encourage you to shop now while it's going on.
This is the best offer out there, and it is exclusively for our Acquired Taste listeners. So once again, go to OrateNewYork.com/taste to get 20% off during Orate's All Humankind sale.
Again, that's AURATENewYork.com. And for every purchase made during the sale period, Orate will be donating 10% of proceeds to ACLU to support the fight for gender equity and equality in honor of International Women's Day. OrateNewYork.com/taste. Kathleen, I didn't discover this thing. Dennis discovered this thing and I discovered it uh-huh. through him. So it's like I discovered it myself. I'm like the Christopher Columbus of this thing. He has been watching this YouTube channel called Odd Tinkering.
Oh.
And it's this Finnish dude who takes like random things, but we were watching like the video game stuff that he does. He takes mm-hmm. these old things and he fixes them and makes them look just like new. And he has this skill set where he can take an old PlayStation that doesn't work. And if you wow. push the power button, it like blinks red and then starts to smoke. And he can open it up and can like solder all the right points and uses isopropyl rubbing alcohol to clean all the parts. And he has like a heat gun and he has all this stuff. He figured out how to take yellowed plastic
yeah.
and put it in this solution with UV lights to whiten it again. Like, he does all this fascinating stuff.
Oh, you know, they say if you have yellow bathing suits, put them in water and soak them outside in the sun because yeah. UV light can whiten things.
Yeah, that's how they used to whiten laundry back in the day in Victorian times. Crazy. Is they would like spritz it with water and lay it on the grass.
By the way, I love that you're working isopropyl alcohol into the conversation today because I live for isopropyl alcohol.
It's the best. I love the way it smells. Don't drink it. Yeah. It'll make you go blind.
No. Not to be confused with denatured alcohol. Different.
Different stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't even know what denatured alcohol is.
I think it has less water content than isopropyl alcohol.
Oh, even worse. Probably yeah. more blind if you drink it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. but the thing about this guy is that he doesn't put any background music on his videos. So you just watch and hear him tinkering. And
wow.
some of it sets off my misophonia. So some of it I can't yeah. watch. Mm-hmm. But like last night, we watched him fix a Nintendo what are they called?
Game Boy?
Yes, yes. We watched him do a Game Boy. And he, like, gave it a new screen, took it apart, whitened it, like, fixed all the buttons. And it's so satisfying and so relaxing to have it on in the background as you're just doing other stuff. It's like you're working... like you're co-working with someone who's also working really hard on a project.
I bet you learn a lot about chemistry and science.
Yeah.
Just by osmosis.
Yeah. And also Dennis pointed out he's learning a lot about patience because this guy is super patient. He takes all the time it needs. His videos are clearly done really well because he like switches camera angles and there's close-ups on stuff and he has a sense of humor. And so like he'll do little jokes. Like if he has to use a screwdriver, the screwdriver says like subscribe on it. So, and then, you know, so you subscribe to his YouTube channel. It's very clever and very fun. But it is, it's like this different world that you would normally not have access to because I don't hang out with people who fix old game controllers.
No.
It also shows you that we don't have to throw everything away. Sometimes it's really worth opening something up and fixing it because it's still very, all of these things he does, they work perfectly again and someone had thrown it out.
It is my dream in life to have a workshop.
We were talking about that last night. Yeah, same. Like what would you put in your workshop?
Well, I would get all sorts of orbital saws. I would get myself a new drill. I would collect wood scraps. Mm-hmm. I would have like a big workbench. And my dad has a great workshop that I should probably just take over. It had a whole wall of a pegboard where you could basically just hang everything that you ever wanted.
Yeah.
And it just seems like a place to go and decompress after dinner like dads do in the movies.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about spray paint fumes or the sawdust getting in your cat's lungs. Like, because you're like in a big workshop and that's the point.
Yes.
Anytime I watch The Repair Shop on Netflix, I'm like, oh, I just want that giant old barn with a thatch roof that I can do all my things in.
I know. And there's always like a great long table that's been beaten up over time. Mm-hmm. But they take time to periodically put wood oil on it.
Yeah.
So it's got this great sheen. But it's got all these nicks and these dents from when your saw slipped. Yep. And you almost cut your finger off, but you cut the table instead.
Yep. And like there's enough light. Yesterday I was trying to like mend this pair of pants. And I had to keep going directly under different lamps in my house because my light light is so bad at night. And I'm like, God, if I had my own repair shop, the light would be perfect. I wouldn't have to worry about weird shadows. I'd be able to see anything. I'd have all the space. Yep. Your aforementioned long table would be able to fit an entire pair of jeans without it like falling off the end of the ironing board. Just like I'd have a place to put all my things, you know?
All my little paints and my paintbrushes and my screwdrivers and all my little ribbons.
Oh, all the ribbons. God, life would be better if everyone just had
a workshop.
You were born and you were immediately given a barn.
And you know, when you live in a city like this, remember that time we went to my friend Kirsten? She's the one who made the Acquired Taste Berets a couple years ago. We went to her studio, which was basically just loft space that she rented in an industrial building. When you live in a city, your workshop is going to cost you, I don't know, $1,200 a month and with a communal bathroom.
And heaven forbid you have to also have a parking spot, which is going to cost you about $600 a month. Like,
I know.
I just at some point need to move to the English countryside where I assume everyone has a rogue barn that they're not using that I can like take.
I feel the pull that you and Dennis are feeling to leave the city.
Yeah.
It's real. It is palpable through this Zoom camera.
At some point, Kathleen, you would have left your house many times if you lived.
I know.
In nature.
Or just like, I don't know, in the suburbs. And like, I think about like one day I definitely want to have like, I don't know, a tiny little farm or a tiny little cabin somewhere where I just throw some pumpkin seeds on the ground in August and in October there's a pumpkin patch or something. I don't know.
That's how that works. That's definitely how that works.
So what's the name of this guy's YouTube channel again?
Odd Tinkering.
Does he sell what he fixes?
I don't know.
Maybe.
He doesn't explicitly say it, but I'm also new to the channel, so he may have...
Yeah.
You know, people probably know way more. They do know way more about his stuff than I do. I would imagine he does. I think he also... Yeah. likes to keep some of it because I think he has a real big enjoyment of like this older technology.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that offsets the cost. And he can, you can, you know, probably hire him to renovate or fix something that you have. And he makes money that way too.
The reason I ask is because I started following a handful of accounts on Instagram where people go to Goodwills and they teach you what to buy that has a good resale value.
Oh.
And then they do hauls where on the weekends they show you what they put up on eBay, how much it sold for, how much they paid for it. It's really interesting. And it's the key to getting good stuff at Goodwill is just going all the time.
Oh, yeah, because they get new stuff every day.
You have to be close to one.
Yeah.
It can't be far away and you have to be close to a handful of them. And you have to do your homework as to what is going to sell. Like, I didn't realize this, but any type of shirt that says like a vintagey shirt that says Jesus on it, it sells hotcakes, Bethany. Shirts that say Jesus sell like hotcakes.
Oh, I wonder why.
I think because they are attractive to both the religious sect and also the sect of people who just want like an ironic t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Like probably the same people who ironically wear wolf t-shirts.
My brother does that.
Cause like I used to work with a woman who actually wore wolf t-shirts. Like she really loved wolves and she had a really certain sense of style and liked her shirts to be a certain size and wore them earnestly. And then people who ironically wear them, I think they're the same people who wear I would wear a t-shirt that has the Jesus footprints poem on it because I just think that poem makes me giggle.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, you know, and then I yelled at Jesus, like, well, where were you? And there was only one set of footprints, which I think it's funny that this person is like chewing Jesus out.
I know.
And then, because how dare you?
How dare you?
And then Jesus is like, that's when I carried you, which is a sweet sentiment until you think about it. And then you picture Jesus carrying like a fully grown you, like a firefighter carrying a fully grown you out of a building. And it makes me giggle every time.
I started watching this show over the weekend. It's actually, Bethany, I think you and Dennis would really like it. It's just ridiculously funny. Called The Righteous Gemstones.
Okay.
It's on HBO Max. And it's about this family with a large commercial church in the South somewhere. Yeah. They have accents. John Goodman is the dad. He is the head honcho.
I've seen ads for this. Yes.
It's so good. And at one point, one of the most ridiculous characters on the show was like, if you rule with a fist, you can't be crucified. like they can't get the nail through your fist.
But they put the nail through Jesus's wrist, didn't they? Or was it the palm of his hand?
It was the palm. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was the palm. This is how Christian you and I are both. We don't even know the answer to this.
No, you're right. It's the palm. And then I think I think generally with crucifying, they put rope around your wrist or something. You're right. Because he had the palm. He had the palm holes.
But if you rule with the fist, they can't crucify you.
Hey, fellow kids. I know another righteous dude who loved piercings. Jesus. And then they hold up the palms of their hands.
Yes.
Because that's where Jesus had those piercings.
That's right. Oh.
Youth pastors, man, they're a special breed. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I learned that you will be saving your life if you at some point in time make a big batch of something, sauce or soup or some sort of lentil concoction, get it in mason jars. Mason jars are what I call single serving jars.
Yes.
And freeze it because I have been desperate lately for food ideas, meal ideas, and I'm just bleeding money ordering takeout.
Yeah.
And a handful of times I've gone into the freezer and there's that mason jar of turkey ragu that I froze for myself a couple of months ago. And I've saved my own life a handful of times doing it that way.
That's great. My nutritionist is always trying to get me to do that too. Make a big batch of stuff. Or even if you are full and you still have a couple bites left, I always just want to finish it.
Yeah.
But my nutritionist says you will always be happy even to have two bites of something that you don't have to cook.
Yeah. The next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
You're totally right.
What did you learn this week, Bethany?
Well, I learned this from the Odd Tinkering YouTube channel.
Okay.
If you are doing a project or something that involves a lot of little pieces, like screws you're taking out or whatever, and you know you're going to lose them as you're doing the project, take out an ice cube tray empty the ice cubes into some water, put the things in the ice cube tray. The little screws, if it's screws that are like, you know, you have to leave them clumped together. Or if you're building IKEA furniture and, you know, there's a bunch of screws of one size and then another size and another size, put them in an ice cube tray. It will help keep everything organized. And it doesn't get knocked over because it's, you know, wide of stance.
That is so smart. How many times have you had a glass jar sitting around or whatever, and you just dump screws into it and you're like, okay, I'm going to remember that the screws for this item are in that jar.
Yep.
And then you can't remember for the life of you why you ended up with so many screws in that jar.
Yep. I have little teacups sitting by my glasses. And I never use them for tea. Every time I need a tiny bowl or to put screws in something, I use those. And heaven forbid, I don't look in the teacup before I use it for a small bowl. I'll be eating a screw because there's always at least one screw and a bunch of dust in that little teacup.
If we could all just send our orphan screws over to Ukraine, they would win the war immediately.
Oh, God. There's, put them in some sort of something and launch it over to someone.
Yeah, you put it in a... I've seen it in movies.
We cannot tell people how to and what to put in on this podcast.
You're right. Dennis, just no bleep out the word.
Yeah, no content. Just like at an airport.
Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. What about you, Kathleen?
Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also find our show on social media. We are on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
We also have an electronic email address, and it's new. It's hello at AcquiredTastePodcast.com.
You can also give us a call on our voicemail. We play your voicemails at the end of almost every single episode. The number is 917-994-0353.
We also have a snail mail address, and that's an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Our show is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
By the time you're listening to this, our March 15th live show will have already passed, but we do have our first book club coming up March 19th at 10:30 in the morning. I'm very excited. We're reading Deepwater by Patricia Highsmith. And we also have a second live show at the end of the month, and that is March 22nd. So don't miss that. You can find us on patreon.com/acquiredtaste.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hello, Bethany and Kathleen. It's Taste Bud Allie from the Poconos, and I'm just calling because, Kathleen, I'm a little upset with you. You just, like, recently posted that H&M, like, sells home goods, and now my entire tax refund and probably my mortgage payment for the next 5 months is just out the window because I want to buy everything. Seriously, though, they do have some cute stuff, so thanks for letting me know. Okay, bye!
Hey, it's Taste Bud Liana. I was very curious about the way you described these Zellige tiles, especially when I forgot if it was Kathleen or Bethany said that it looks like paper peeling from the walls. I was like, there's no way that's cute. So I'm going to look them up right now. I have it in front of me. I did have to go through a couple different spelling variations, but... Oh, I see what you mean about the nature thing. I don't know. In some ways, it looks like they really are peeling off the wall, but in some pictures, it's absolutely gorgeous. Ooh. Oh, they come in blue. Oh, that's my work phone. Whatever, I'm looking at tiles. Now I want to look at the glitter floors. Yep, I'm sold. I want a glitter floor. I have to talk to my wife. All right, love you guys. Bye.
Hey, ladies. This is Sam from Ohio. Just calling to respond about Bethany's story about Helltown, Ohio. I am from a surrounding area of what is being referred to as Helltown, and I was shocked when she started describing the area because I've never heard it called Helltown in my whole life. I just wanted to mention that it's a really lovely, like, vibrant area for the most part. I mean, of course, there's lots of areas that aren't in any city, but there's the National Park, which is such a treasure in Northeast Ohio. And, of course, I recognize that the way it was maybe created was totally backwards and wrong, but it really is such a treasure here. Also, within the National Park, there's a ton of history that sounds really boring but really isn't about the canal in Akron. The canal was integral to like early American industries. Also, there's an incredible hike and bike trail. I mean, like, it's a cool place to visit. Not that I'm sitting here offended that it's being called Helltown. I think that's honestly kind of cool and they should use it in their promotion, but I really like think people would enjoy visiting it. I guess all that to say that as I was reflecting on the sad story of the people being moved out by eminent domain, I am grateful that the park exists. It really has kind of maintained the nature of Northeast Ohio and what we really have to offer. If people call it Helltown, that's great. And I think you should come to Helltown and go on a hike or kayak or get ice cream or get wings at Winging Liz.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. Stateside Danielle calling from New Jersey. I just listened to the latest episode, and I think the last voicemail was about a topic for bonus episode, sharing office tea. Well, I have so much office tea that I would love to spill, so if you do make that a topic, please let us know. I would love to email you guys. I thank you guys for everything that you do. I love you both very much. Thank you for the podcast. Have a great day. Bye.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Aaron here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I was listening to episode 382, Inflation for Dummies, and when you love staying home too much. Bethany, I was just listening to you talk about how, about taking photos and being in the back of the photo and how, you know, it'd be nice to be in the front of the photo. I see you, I hear you, I feel you. However, I'm that person that's always in the front of the photo, being every bit of just 5 feet tall. I want to always be in the back of the photo because I don't like being in the front. I don't like being seen. I don't want to be seen. I want to be in the back always. But nope, I'm forced to be in the front because I'm small, I'm short. You have to be in the front, Aaron. You have to be in the front. Nobody can see you in the back. Bethany, let's trade places. You can have my spot in the front. I'll take your place in the back. Happily, I will hide behind anyone in a photo and just, you know, squeeze in between the shoulders. Have a wonderful day, ladies. Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.